Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're cutting straight to the core of a really fascinating paradox. It's playing out right now in Europe. We're looking at two neighbors, Germany and the Netherlands. Both wealthy, both innovative, you know.
Right, both heavily invested in AI and digital transformation.
Yeah.
Pouring resources in.
Exactly. But here's the thing. Their results, they're, well, radically different.
Yeah, dramatically so.
And that's the central mystery, isn't it?
Yeah.
How can German, I mean, the economic powerhouse of Europe with this huge investment, this formal strategy, how are they lagging behind their smaller neighbor?
Especially when the Netherlands seems, on the surface, less bombastic about it all.
Right. And our sources, they point overwhelmingly to one answer. And it's not really about the tech itself, is it? Not microchips or code.
No, it's culture. That's the key takeaway here.
Culture.
It's like this whole deep dive, really, it's your shortcut to understanding that AI adoption, it's mostly a cultural thing, not just technological. We found this great quote, actually. It frames it perfectly. A product is never finished, and neither is a culture. Really hits the nail on the head.
That's good. It suggests constant evolution.
Exactly. So our mission today is to unpack these sources, really dig into the specific differences, you know, mindset, structure, education that seem to determine who succeeds.
We're moving past just the budget numbers, the big figures.
Yeah, getting to the why, the behavioral reasons that just, well, throwing money at something doesn't automatically make it work, especially with AI.
Okay, let's unpack this then, starting with Germany. Because look, on paper, they seem unstoppable, right?
Totally. The strategy is ambitious. The language they use, ecosystem, innovation, transparency, it's all there.
And the money. Let's not forget the money. It's definitely there.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking, what, 5 billion euros dedicated just to AI initiatives running through 2025.
A huge sum.
Yeah.
And they're serious about, like, digital sovereignty. They're building this massive GPU gigafactory.
Right. A state-of-the-art facility to build their own computing power, compete globally, not relying on others.
And it really gets to the heart of the German approach, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They're trying to engineer AI leadership.
Engineer it. Like it's a bridge or a factory.
Precisely. Like a massive infrastructure project. Think Autobahn, but for AI.
Yeah.
It has to be perfect, self-sufficient, fully controlled, regulated before it really gets deployed widely.
Okay, I see. That top-down, heavy engineering mindset, which usually works for them in manufacturing.
Right, world-class at that.
But it seems like that strategy is, well, hitting a snag in the AI context. Why? Why does all that money and ambition hit a brick wall?
Well, that creates the paradox, you see.
Mm-hmm.
They do excellent fundamental research, top-notch.
Okay.
But getting that research out, the implementation, especially in, say, medium-sized businesses or public services, it's just painfully slow.
So the energy gets lost somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. All that investment, that brain power, it just gets bogged down. The sources describe it as a maze of bureaucracy and parallel projects. Everyone's doing something, but it's not connected.
Okay, a maze. And what's the reality inside, say, a typical big German company, despite the government buzzwords?
Well, often it's still quite hierarchical. Decisions are slow, lots of committees, still very reliant on Excel sheets, established procedures.
So not exactly agile.
Not really. The default setting is often, you know, regulation first, innovation second. There's this deep-seated culture of risk avoidance.
Ah, risk avoidance.
Yeah. So they treat AI less like a tool for rapid improvement and more like this dangerous, complex thing that needs perfect documentation certification before you can even think about using it.
So they're aiming for the perfect, fully compliant system tomorrow.
Right.
Instead of getting a useful, maybe 80% good prototype working today.
Exactly. And in AI, that delay, oh, it can be fatal, can it? The field moves so fast.
So waiting for the perfect regulation, then the corporate committee approval, you lose months, maybe a year.
Easily.
Yeah.
And while Germany's debating if the first line of code is, you know, 100% GDPR compliant or whatever,
their neighbors are already playing with it.
Right. They're piloting real applications, learning, iterating. It creates this huge cultural lag for Germany.
Okay. That sets the stage perfectly for the Netherlands then. They skip the big, flashy national strategy.
Yeah. No 5 billion euro announcement in the same way. Their approach was quieter, more organic, and you could argue much smarter.
So what did they focus on if not the giant factories and central plants?
People. They focus on the soil, you could say, not just the seed money. Preparing the people for it.
How so?
They realized early on, really early, that for AI to work, the population needs to be comfortable with it. fluent in it almost. They didn't treat it like some scary future tech.
They treated it as a present skill.
Exactly. And this is critical. Since 2014, that's nearly a decade ago now, schools across the Netherlands started integrating digital literacy and, crucially, AI ethics into the curriculum.
Not just universities, like regular school.
Yeah, K-12 focus.
Yeah.
So you're building a whole generation that grows up understanding digital concepts, understanding the risks, but also ready to work with these tools, not just be scared of them.
That's incredible foresight. They didn't wait for the government to figure out the perfect rules.
No, they empowered the citizens and the future workforce first. Build the understanding from the ground up.
And their methodology, how they actually do things, does it follow that?
Completely. It's built on that trust. They focus on small-scale pilots, lots of cross-sector collaboration, getting universities, businesses, government talking and doing things together.
And experimentation.
Yes. Trust-based experimentation is fundamental. They accept that the first try might not work. Failure isn't punished. It's seen as the fastest way to learn.
Okay, can you give us a concrete example? Where does this quiet pragmatism actually happen?
Well, the prime example is Brainport Eindhoven.
Yeah.
You know, the hub around giants like ASML, Philips, top universities there.
Right, the tech hub.
It basically functions as a living laboratory, a continuous testing ground for applied AI, for Industry 4.0.
So it's not just research happening in isolation, it's a sandbox.
Exactly. It's a sandbox. An AI idea developed at the university, maybe for logistics.
Yeah.
It can be quickly piloted in a local factory down the road, tested. Maybe it fails.
Okay.
They tweak it, learn from it, and redeploy it. All within weeks, potentially. It's this rapid loop of learning and application.
Wow. That really sums it up, doesn't it? Well, Germany spends months debating the legal risk of a prototype.
The Dutch spend a few weeks actually building it, seeing what happens, and moving to the next version.
It's like the difference between planning a giant unsinkable battleship versus launching a whole swarm of agile speedboats that can change course quickly.
That's a fantastic analogy, yes. And that leads us right into the core analysis from the sources. Because the difference isn't really about technical skill, is it?
No, it sounds like it goes deeper.
It does. It's about these ingrained behaviors, these cultural mindsets.
Okay, let's break that down then. The source material contrasted them on a few key dimensions. Let's start with the core focus. Germany, risk management, Netherlands, opportunity management.
Yes, that's fundamental.
How does that play out in, say, a company? Risk management focus.
Well, it means every decision gets weighed down by what could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Legal liability, compliance checks.
Mm.
It slows everything down. The main goal is to avoid a bad outcome.
Which often means avoiding any outcome, or at least delaying it.
Pretty much. The penalty for failure feels huge, while the reward for success might just be moderate. So you play it safe.
Whereas opportunity management
acknowledges the risks, sure, but the energy goes into what's the potential upside here? How fast can we capture this benefit?
Okay.
The mindset shifts. It's more how quickly can we find a new way to grow or improve rather than how do we prevent any possible disaster? They're okay launching something that's maybe 80% ready.
Knowing they'll refine the last 20% based on real use.
Exactly. Learn by doing.
And the culture reflects this, right? Germany's is described as technocratic and procedural.
Meaning the process, the rules, the hierarchy, that's king. Decisions get pushed up through layers of experts, committees. If the official procedure manual doesn't mention AI deployment for this specific case,
you wait.
You wait until the manual gets updated, which takes a long time.
While the Dutch culture is experimental and human-centric.
Yes, experimental we've covered. Human-centric means the focus is on, does this actually help the user? What are we learning as a team, as an organization, rather than just ticking boxes on a predefined plan?
Trusting the team on the ground.
Exactly, which leads directly to implementation speed. Germany's is described as fragmented and slow. Lots of silos.
And the Netherlands.
Connected and agile, because they build those connections up front.
Okay, let's talk governance. Germany's is layered and political. How does that manifest? What's an example?
Think about data sharing. Absolutely essential for training good AI, right?
Yep.
In Germany, getting different government departments or different states or even different industry sectors to share data, it's a nightmare. You have to navigate multiple overlapping layers of rules, governance bodies.
Each with its own political consideration.
Precisely. It creates these huge bottlenecks. Just getting permission can take forever, even for anonymized data.
Whereas the Dutch system, being smaller maybe, more consensus-driven,
is described as transparent and cooperative. They seem to build that trust needed for collaboration earlier. The governance structure seems designed to enable sharing between public bodies, businesses, research.
Rather than locking data down as proprietary territory.
Exactly. It facilitates those agile pilots, like in Eindhoven.
And even education shows this split. Germany. Top-down reform. Wait for the federal policy, then roll it out.
Yeah, wait for the official curriculum change from the top.
Netherlands. Early integration and trust. Just start doing it in schools back in 2014.
Build a foundation by trusting teachers and local systems to integrate it early.
Wow. Okay, this really crystallizes the core difference, doesn't it? It's how they view AI itself.
That's the absolute heart of it. Is AI a finished machine you need to build perfectly and then guard carefully?
That sounds like the German view, the engineering project.
Right. Cool. Or is AI more like a dynamic, ongoing social conversation? Something you need to participate in, learn from, adapt to.
That's the Dutch view, the social learning process.
That's exactly how the sources frame it. AI adoption isn't just plugging in some code. It's fundamentally a cultural transformation.
Okay.
Germany treats it like engineering. Build it to spec. The Netherlands treats it like social learning. Cultivate it.
And social learning requires, what's the key ingredient?
Courage, actually. And trust. Leadership has to actively build what you might call trust as structure.
Trust as structure. What does that mean?
It means creating an environment where people have explicit permission to experiment. Permission to fail, even. Because if you demand perfection from the start, especially in tech,
you get stagnation.
You get stagnation. Because rapid progress requires rapid iteration. And iteration means trying things that won't be perfect first time.
So connecting this back, when we talk about organizations resisting change, it's maybe not the change itself people resist. One source put it brilliantly. Innovation often fails because organizations resist learning.
Yes, they resist the cultural shift needed to allow that rapid, sometimes messy learning process.
If your whole company culture or government culture is built on minimizing errors, strict controls, avoiding bad reports,
you've basically built an environment that's hostile to how modern AI actually develops and improves. It needs constant feedback, constant iteration. That's the opposite of a rigid top-down control structure.
And that's why the Dutch transformation feels more human, more agile.
Exactly. It feels human and fast, while the German approach feels more administrative and, well, sluggish.
Because the Dutch prioritize agility and learning.
Over perfect centralized control and nailing down every regulation beforehand, they seem freer to just try things.
So the final lesson here, for any organization, maybe even any country wanting to lead, is that they might need to kind of unlearn that deep love for absolute control, rediscover a bit of curiosity, the kind that drives real experimentation.
Okay. So wrapping this up for everyone listening, whether you're running a team or just working in today's digital world, what's the big takeaway?
Well, we've seen pretty clearly that the quality of the cultural soil matters way more than just the amount of seed money you throw at it.
Right. Culture eats strategy and maybe budget for breakfast here.
You could say that.
So here's the final thought we want to leave you with. It's a bit provocative. The future of AI probably won't be built by those who meticulously manage it, but by those who play with it.
Play, experiment, learn quickly.
Exactly. So think about the organizations you deal with every day. Your company, maybe your kid's school, government agencies you interact with. What's the dominant mindset you see?
Is it all about control, rules, eliminating risk at all costs? Or is it about collaboration, trying things out, learning by doing, maybe even having a bit of fun with the possibilities?
The answer to that question, it might tell you more about their future success with AI than any official report or budget they publish.
Something to chew on. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.